Welcome everyone to recording of Free Kick On Air for week 8. First time we've been back in a while. And thank goodness for that, to be honest. I was fully over the double game weeks and I am glad that they are in the rearview mirror. And joining me as a special guest is one of the mainstays in the community, Bales from Fantasy Fanatics. Bales, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Yeah, good to put those double game weeks behind us. It's the only thing I can take out of that was the 662 points next to Marinos' name, which we will never see repeated again in any footy fantasy format that we've got. So I'll take that. But yeah, hopefully that's the last we ever get the double game weeks and we'll just get hopefully just one game a week for every team.
I hope and pray as much as and also by the fact it was just kind of pure enjoyment for enjoyment's sake. Everyone, you know, inside the top 1,000 has her at this point. So it was just, this is just fun to watch someone do things that we've never seen before. Going into tonight's teams, have you got a sense of where your trades are going? And is there anything that you're looking for in teams that could throw that out of balance?
I think I'm pretty set where I'm going. Goldsworthy is probably the main issue that I need to be looking at upgrading this week. So don't have too much cash on the bench. I think after my trades this week, I've only got one player above 300K, which is Giselle Davis. So that's that the bench is going really well. But yeah, looking at probably going a couple of rookies down and going Goldsworthy up to an Ash Riddell to complete my midfield. That's still got Michaela Pounga on field, but I'm hopeful that she can at least go 45, 50 plus again like she did in the second game against the Crows last week and hopefully be someone that I might even just be happy enough fielding at F5 for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what GWS does because I would have said that she looked pretty spectacular, like from a game point of view on Sunday against Adelaide. Some of her work from stoppage to get the hands out was truly commendable and something that we've not seen too many GWS players do outside of their kind of core leadership group, particularly in the midfield. So I hope that Cam Bernasconi saw the same things we did and decides to reward her with a similar role. I don't think she's a natural forward. But, yeah, I'm also kind of hoping and praying that it happens. And I feel like, at the very least, Pounga's more than likely to make money this week and has some good matchups after Hawthorn, whereas Zali Friswell is my main. She's got a bad break even and a truly horrendous Brisbane matchup, albeit there have been some okay wing scores against them. I just don't trust her at the moment. So she's got to go for me. And then the other one that in as well as Eileen Gilroy as my DeFi. She's a bit speculative. She's owned by 8 teams. Very, very, very unique. That is my trades. We've now got teams coming through. I'll do a quick Friday's teams. We've got Julia Teakle out for Port Adelaide. In comes Liv Levicki. Sim Nolder and Renee Karras. And in comes Emily Fiedler and Hannah Stewart. So it's a fascinating selections there. We'll definitely have something to talk about on that front. And then going across to the Saturday games, we've got Hawthorn against GWS first up. The one out, which we did know was going to happen, is Greta Bodie, who apparently has a toe complaint. And in comes Charlotte Baskerin. And then for GWS, out, Caitlin Sirhoy and Fleur Davis. And in comes Alicia Newman and Hanine Zarika. Another one that we're going to talk about there because Fleur Davis is a fascinating out there. Sydney and Gold Coast is the next game. Out goes Julie O'Sullivan and Montana Berylson, and in comes Sarah Gundon and Lauren Spag-Zaghetti. And then for Gold Coast, out goes Niamh McLaughlin suspended and Maddie Brancatisano, and in comes the injured or previously injured Clara Fitzpatrick and their reigning best and fairest Claudia Whitford. So that's going to be another interesting midfield to watch. We'll get to chatting about that one in a minute. Then after that, we've got Melbourne against Richmond down at Casey Fitz. Quite a few changes for Melbourne. Out go Alicia Pisano, Grace Hill and Paxi Paxman. Alicia Pisano being a pretty popular rookie after a double game week. And then in comes Blaine Mack and Lauren Pierce and Saray Taylor. So Lauren Pierce, after injuring her wrist against Geelong, I think was it week one, she's now come back relatively quickly. And then for Richmond, out goes Charlie Ryan and Tam Luke, and in comes Maddie Shevlin and Laura McClelland. Final game on Saturday, we've got West Coast and Fremantle, the Western Derby. Again, a lot of changes for West Coast. Out goes Jess Rank, Simmons, Sasha Goranova, and Jamie Harkin. And in comes Sarah Lakai. So we've got another different ruck lineup: Courtney Rowley, Amy Franklin, and Mackenzie Webb. And then for Fremantle, out goes, geez, that's disappointing. Good thing I was already planning on trading her out, Ariana Hetherington and Michaela Morrison. And then in comes Hayley Miller and Joanne Craig. And then for the Sunday games, we've obviously got extended benches. For Geelong against Brisbane at 105 at GMHBA, out are Rachel Kearns and Darcy Maloney. And then in comes Shelley Scott, Brooke Plummer, Abby McDonald, and Kate Kent. Bella Kay-Smith, Caitlin Thorne, Mel Bragg, Chantal Mason, Brooke Plummer, Abby McDonald, Gabby Featherston, and Kate Kenny, meaning that Shelley Scott has been named on field. And then for Brisbane, out rookie Sophie Peters, and in comes, for the first time this season, Sinead Davison, Kate Lutkins, Paula O'Dwyer, and Luca Yoshida Martin. Now, Lutkins, O'Dwyer, and Luca Yoshida, the last three have all been named on an extended bench, although I would be very surprised if Orla O'Dwyer did not play, given how important she is. Now, Essendon and Kangaroos at 3:05 at Windy Hill. We've got no outs for either team. And in on an extended bench are Jackie Botts, Lily Rose Williamson, and Matilda Dyke. And then for the Kangaroos, in come Eliza Shannon, Ella Slocum, and Lulu Puller. Again, all extended bench for those three. Final game of the round, we've got Collingwood against Adelaide. Now, Adelaide have no changes. In come Amy Boyle Carr, Abby Ballard, and Lily Tarlington, all of whom are on an extended bench. And then for Collingwood, we've got Grace Campbell and Bree Davey out. So that's two midfield options, which is very interesting to see. And then in come Jordan Ivey, Erica Fowler, Imogen Evans, Sarah Sansonetti, and Charlotte Taylor. Sansonetti, Evans, and no, Jordan Ivey has been named on field. So quite a number of changes for Collingwood. Bales, I've just spoken for a whole slab of time. Kind of having listened to those changes, is there any one or two that stood out to you the most?
So I think that the two will probably affect my team. A lot of teams is obviously Fleur Davis being out is for me is good because I can't do the Bim Strom move this week. So sort of seeing that O'Dowd's been named and there's no Davis is good. So that's in a decent matchup against Lucy Wales as well. And then also the Claudia Whitford one I think is quite important because we've seen Charlie Rowbottom, you guys mentioned on the pod that when Whitford's been out, that's when we've seen Rowbottom struggle. Whereas now she's back, a bit of help for Rowbottom. Hopefully that the extra few days rest compared to another double game week will do Rowbottom the world of good. And it's a pretty decent enough matchup this week for Gold Coast. So I'm hoping that she can return to her high-scoring ways because we know that Sydney can give up some points, especially with no Laura Gardner or Chloe Malloy in there.
Yeah, I think the question will be, you know, is Rowbottom in an aerobic state that she can break the Tanya Kennedy tag? Because I do think that the way that Jazz Garner exploited it last week, that the way she does it is she makes the call early to leave the stoppage and just kind of maneuver herself so that she's always got the open side. She knows the King, Tripodi, Riddell, or if it's a Bella Eddy, Amy Smith rolling up to a stoppage, they know to get the ball out, going out in front of her, and she's hand to foot one of the best players in the comp, and then also takes marks inside 50. So I don't know if Rowbottom has that now. I don't know if she's going to be able to break it in the same way. Yeah, she's supremely strong, but it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm a little bit concerned about the bottom end of Rowbottom's score this week, but remain hopeful that a bit of extra rest and some better midfield talent around her is definitely going to be of some assistance. The one that surprised me, given the tweets that I'd seen earlier today, is Hayley Miller has been named to play, given she was a late out last week and it didn't seem like she was doing a whole lot of warming up this week, thanks to Eliza Riley for that tweet there when the Fremantle were doing some indoor training. I do wonder if that just has a little bit of an impact on the midfield group, because if she is in, you know, I have been saying in certain places that I think the player to pick this week is Gabby Newton. Kind of been very much under discussed, has a great run upcoming, has a great role, hasn't been forward. And then, of course, Hayley Miller comes back in, Dana came back in last week. And I don't know if you've seen Bales where Gabby Newton is named, but it's at full forward.
Yeah, that obviously that's the annoying thing. She's been at it full forward. But I think, yeah, I mentioned on our pod on Tuesday that, yeah, she's been certainly the defender amongst those prems that's got the least amount of discussion, and she's obviously just been getting better and better, playing more up the ground. And I can't see her losing that role either. Like we've seen funny people being named in different positions in the team sheet. So I don't think I would sort of look at it too much. But the fact that, yeah, Hetherington is out, maybe does that mean Gabby Newton does play potentially a little bit more in the forward line, more than up the ground? But then Miller's been named on the ball and we've seen her play forward. So maybe they just sort of do like they switch between forward and midfield, I reckon.
Yeah, it might take a hair off Newton's ceiling. I don't think it's so much that I believe that because she's been named a forward in the team sheet, ipso facto, she is. I just think that Hetherington out, more midfield bodies back in, Gabby O'Sullivan's still playing, even though I'm not certain that her ankle is right, or as of last week. It just tempers my kind of hype that I'd had through this week as for Gabby Newton as the option. Now, another one that is certainly one that I'm looking at, and I don't know if you've considered this, Bales, but Hawthorn. Greta Bodie is out. Now, Greta Bodie is a very interesting situation for, I would say, people that should be targets this week in Anya McDonough and Eileen Gilroy. Both of them are under 800K, and under 800K in defenders is particularly dire. I know that I'm the one trading them in, but have you considered either, or do you have someone in that like 600 to 800K defender range that you'd be targeting this week?
Yes, I haven't looked at either, just with the fact that I'm trying to do the, obviously, as I said, Goldsworthy up. So I haven't really looked at any forward or defender sort of options. I've put down a couple of cheaper names in defence and forward line that, because my and there might be a few people out there as well that like this, but they might have benches that are full of 300K players, and you're going to have to get maybe a little bit creative with some players on the field, like to downgrade in order to go up. So, like in defence, I think the two names that sort of I looked at, obviously besides the two Hawthorn girls you named, I think Gilroy's a good pick. Obviously, she's got booming kicks, so she can pretty much kick wherever, and sort of she's just got this sort of free reign to sort of just almost roam around the ground. It reminds me slightly of almost like a Maddie Newman type role, where she can just go forward, she can go back, she can go wing, like she can sort of just float everywhere. And then Anya McDonough as well, is her and Ash Maloney have just been great for for their teams and just showing how good these Irish players really are. It's just that tall forward can, like, so athletic, can get up the ground, can get in amongst the chains moving forward, but then also get on the end of them there as well. And the Giants matchup for both Guerin and McDonough is something that's pretty good to target. So I like both. Then I guess the other two defenders I like the cheap is Elizabeth Georgiastathis. Obviously, we saw her. Saw a 94, I think it was, on the weekend last week, where it was over 100, but then obviously the late adjustments, there's a few massive late adjustments, her and Sheeran getting minus a lot of points after, which isn't great, but she's cheap. Fitzgerald looks to be playing more of a midfield role, obviously with Blackburn out, so she's, and then RNs is out as well, so she's the main sort of kicker back there. And then Kerrin Peterson's the one that I'd probably want to get your thoughts on it. Under 500K at 499,000. She played a bit better last week and looked to be more of that kicker. Is she of any interest for you? Because she's someone I'm watching tonight to see how she goes potentially for next week. But what are your thoughts on her?
Yeah, I think there's some definite possibilities there. I think that Carlton have one of the better runs. My obvious concern is her injury history. She's now been injured on very low scores. I think each of the last three seasons, she's missed time as a result. And so with Carlton not having a substantial, like if they lose this week and she cops an injury or she's carrying something, it might be that she just plays a little bit less time in the final 2 weeks. But I'm definitely watching her. And I think Georgiastathis, you know, I would almost be more interested in her if there had not been such a big deal made about the game plan from the Western Bulldogs last week. Because I definitely think that Georgiastathis had benefited from that because the ball just like lived in the areas that she likes to populate, that kind of high half-back, kind of not deep inside defensive 50 area. And so she was just able to rack up marks at tackles and kicks. I do wonder if Tam Hyatt does stick with that game plan again this week against a weaker opposition and in light of the fact that she has just been roundly panned for being so defensive. I think that if it had been less made about that, I would have had less concern and therefore would have been more okay with trying to trade her in. And I may have tried it, if I had been able to afford it, I probably would trade in Georgiastathis if it would allow me to take Zali Friswell up to Chelsea Randall. But alas, I'm 20K short. So
yeah, always the way, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I had about three different trades that I liked and I'm 20K short of all of them. One of them involved taking Ailish O'Dowd up to Matilda Schultz, who is rucking mano a mano against Emily Fiedler, albeit just one thing that I wanted to discuss. Liv Levicki back in the team, does that make you less interested in Matilda Schultz as an Ailish O'Dowd upgrade?
I think so, because we have seen that with Matilda Schultz, when she's solo, she's got, like, she's got that ceiling, but when Levicki's in there, it's not the fact that, like, and I know round one she scored 26. I think that was just a horrendous game for her, just in terms of she had a lot of free kicks. It was against the Crows, who are one of, if not the most restrictive team for rucks. So I'd probably just disregard that. But
yeah, I don't think in Brisbane at this point.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to see too many of these 85 plus scores with Levicki in the side. But if Levicki wasn't there, then I'd be all for it. So, like, you've got like Lucy Wales, I'd prefer if people have got that little bit of extra cash. And obviously, if you've got O'Dowd, I don't know if I would do that trade with Fleur Davis being out and then Levicki in. I think that probably just sways it back to if you've got another trade you can make and you want to spend that 100K elsewhere, whether that's being like, even if it's like a Goldrick up to like a Maddie Newman, for example, or if it's one of those forwards up to a Chelsea Randall or one of the more expensive forwards, I'd probably prefer to be doing that than the Matilda Schultz move. The other ruck I'm actually keeping an eye on as well is Alice Edmonds, because she's got a tough matchup this week against Carlton, but then she finishes off with, I believe, a couple of decent enough matchups. So she's got St Kilda next week, and then she's got Mimstrom to finish, but with Borg being out for the...
Mimstrom.
yeah, with Borg being out for the season, I think there's a chance that we could see a couple of decent scores for her to end the year. So I'd almost rather her and Matilda Shots, because Matilda Shots reminds me a little bit of the Tom De Koning situation at Carlton in the men's, where there is that second ruck that on any given week can come in, and that would just take away a ceiling, which is probably not what you're wanting in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think my only counterpoint would be that with Teagle out indefinitely, I'd expect that it's just a resting forward role predominantly, and probably a lot of time on ground role for Levicki and not too much time in the ruck. Another question for you, this is one that I've seen floating around. Like, if you're sitting there inside the top, you know, 200, 300, and you want to make the ruck upgrade, factoring in price, do you prefer Schultz, Wales, or Strong?
If you've got the money, it's Strong, I think. She's what?
But it's less a question of money. It's more at their price. Yeah. Which do you want? Who do you think kind of outperforms?
Yeah, I still think it is Strong, just because of how far away she is better than the next best ruck. And the fact that she's got West Coast this week, that's a great matchup. West Coast have been chopping and changing their rucks like every single week. So there's obviously that's great. But then next week is the one that, if there's a way I can bring her in against Giants next week, obviously O'Dowd's been really easy to score against. And even if they bring in a Fleur Davis or Courtney Murphy or whoever next week, so if they were to partner up, I think that could be a massive score for Mim Strom there. And obviously finishing with Edmonds isn't the greatest matchup, but I think Strom, even if she's not scoring in hit out, she can score in marks, tackles, touches around the ground. She fills all the stat lines. So that's probably why I'd like her, but also I do like Lucy Wales as well. She's got a pretty good run to finish. She's got the Giants matchup this week, and then she goes into Melbourne. Obviously, Lauren Pearce is back.
Lauren Pearce is back. I think that's the potential thing that tips me over, like away from Wales this week, because of the fact that they've got Lauren Pearce back. I think the Richmond matchup after.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one after.
Because I think if Tam Luke is playing, then they become a more difficult matchup. But Tam Luke has been dropped this week. I wonder if she gets a week or 2 weeks break, ideally to kind of rest as an older player who didn't have a full preseason going into finals for Richmond, which is, I'm assuming, what they're targeting. I think Strom most likely to score well. Now, I just want to have a look at what they're priced at, just so that I can kind of make a slightly more kind of informed choice. So if I go for rucks, we've got Mim Strom priced at 102, Lucy Wales priced at 87, and then Matilda Schultz priced at 78. I actually still think that Matilda Schultz can go at 10 points above. Like, I think she can go high 80s average for the next three, whereas I think Strom is probably about 1.5 to 1.10. We've yet to hear why Ariana Hetherington's been dropped, so very curious to see what's happening on that front.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm just about to head off. Obviously, I've got a few other things before the game starts, but just one last question I want to ask you was obviously with Harkin being dropped and a few people looking for rookies, who do you think are the best rookies that are, I guess, 350K or below that people should be targeting to get these upgrades done? Because I don't think there's too many.
Yeah, I don't think there's massive ones. Oh, I've just seen now that Hetherington has been managed. Funnily enough, I think Tanisha Kikoak at 328, 329K has a break even of, I think, like 20 odd. Or it's relatively low break even for her. She'll probably be the inside forward 50 ruck this week in what should be a good matchup. She's probably rucking against Georgie Cleaver when it goes in there, because Cleaver or Wackfer plays in defence. I think that's a good pick. Gabby Beedenweg-Webster is 300K at the moment, going into a great run for forward. So West Coast GWS and the Western Bulldogs. I think that's another player who's got a relatively low break-even. She's at, break-even of 28, 27. Like, I don't know if that's, it's nothing spectacular, but Like, I think she's 300K. I guess we can't. Have we got Ramsdale in the game? Yeah, Gemma Ramsdale has been picked again. Break even of 22 at 308K is an option. I don't think that we've got spectacular options at 300K this week, sadly.
Which is unfortunate because I'm looking in that sort of range, especially for like a midfielder. I'll have to see if there's a midfielder there, or I might have to do a different trade to get some cash elsewhere. So, but unfortunately, I've got to jump off now. But very much appreciate getting me on Liam tonight, and good luck obviously to yourself and everyone at Free Kick and all the listeners for hopefully a good round. Hopefully, you can enjoy. Just a single games this week, and hope to have a good last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And again, thanks a bunch for jumping on. Never fear, everyone. I've got still a little bit of time. I might do some solo question answering. First up, we've got one from Corey Blackledge, which is Tarny White an option now with Campbell and Davey out? Now, I too had that thought when we were looking through teams. Yep, that's great for Davey. Probably still great for Ruby if you're still running with her at D5. I just do wonder if Tarny White is actually a sustainable scorer, because if you have a look at her best scores this season, yep, they've been with everyone out, and that's what's happened this week. But it did come, her best score has come in the week where she had two goals, and those goals were from 50-metre penalties, and that was 102. I think that lower time on ground in each of the last 2 weeks, still only an 80 in one of the best matchups in week 4 against the Western Bulldogs off of suspension. I'm just not certain that she's someone who's going to be able to really accumulate enough. I think you'd be happy if she got to a 95. And I think at this stage at M5, I'm just not sure that that's enough. The player I do like as a result of all these outs is actually Britt Bonici. She absolutely burnt me, not hurt specifically and intentionally, burnt me earlier in the season when she was injured, and therefore I made trades, brought Bree Davey in, and that tanked week 4. The last 3 weeks, 112, 104, and then 72. We know that she's got a 120 ceiling. We've already seen it this year. It comes with marks. It comes with tackles. We know that there is the capacity for midfielders to score against Adelaide this season. I don't think they're off the top of my head. They're not the world's hardest matchup. I definitely think that I would be looking at Britt Bonici if you can. Which actually brings me on to another question. I've kind of started answering it already, which is, are there any options kind of in that $1 million to $1.25 million range in the midfield, $1.2 million, who look like they could be targets this week? And I definitely appreciate that. If I've been trying to upgrade Zali Goldsworthy, if I thought that she was my biggest issue, I would absolutely have been looking there. And I do think there are definitely some handy options. I definitely would be targeting Britt Bonici now, though. She sits at $1.53 million. The other one that I really like is Ash McCarthy at $1.199. I definitely think that she has the capacity to have a super ceiling. She's another one that's a smidgen over that I really like playing tonight is Keely Sharar. She's been on a spectacular run, particularly that 128 against North. That was outstanding and so good. In fact, in the past few weeks, she's actually seen some tags at different times. Even managing an 87 against Brisbane is pretty spectacular, given how hard they have been to score against this year. I also don't hate the idea of Maddie Guerin, a very consistent, solid player, probably just doesn't have the ceiling at the minute. And then the other one to kind of look at is you've got Parker, Bates, and Whitford. Now, I think Whitford is a situation where next week I may, have a bit of a sniff, like see how she goes this week going back into the Gold Coast Suns team. Albeit they've not got you know, the world's most spectacular game this week, but finishes with Port Adelaide and North. So relatively neutral matchup. She's probably likely to dump a bunch of cash because of that 33 in her last game with injury. She's someone that I would definitely be considering. But the one that I think has the best run for the rest of the season, or at least someone that I would probably trust to score well in the next 2 weeks, is Em Bates. She's been another super consistent option. We know from seasons past that she's got a big ceiling, 90 and a 95 and a 97 in her last four games, on one tough game against the Suns at only 65. But I do think we can discount some of the lower scores that happen in double game weeks as being kind of, there was always going to be a situation where teams would score or certain players were going to score worse. So those are my best options. So yeah, let's we'll see how that ends up playing out. Got another question here from JL, which is, should I consider downgrading Rowbottom to upgrade Cooper? Got zero bench to upgrade at the moment. Can only really do some sideways trades. I'm also considering downgrading Friswell. Look, it's a really tough one when you are having to do those like double, kind of that really awkward sideways trade. I guess Holly Cooper, I haven't actually been following, you know, in every single score that she's had. I do know that JD was fielding her through the double game weeks. Okay, so wildly inconsistent, had 21 against Geelong and then had a 54 and a 59 afterwards. It is just a question of how far you are downgrading Rowbottom. She's not got a huge amount of cash sitting on her head after a few bad scores in a row. At the most, you might be able to go to someone who's 100K cheaper, but I don't think putting 100K on top of Holly Cooper is really going to help you. You would be taking a wild stab at someone below 800K, and I'm just not sure that's the way to go. I definitely think that you're more likely to find someone who can put up a 45 in the downgrade section of your forward line than someone who is below 900K, 800K that you'd feel comfortable saying could get close to matching or within 10 points of someone priced at 1.2 million. Because it's hard to trade out Charlie Rowbottom for a full downgrade because we know that she can go 160. And even on a bad day like she had against Hawthorn, where she started really slowly, she still had a 126. So she's definitely got capacity to score on a tough day against a tough matchup. So I would be saying that I'd prefer to be trading out Friswell. Let me just see if there's any other questions. There's one here from Mime. Thoughts on Matilda Schultz not getting the Mark of the Year nomination? Look, I think at this point I could absolutely be outraged, but we all know that the Mark of the Week is a fan vote. And in the AFLW, I would not be shocked if the Bombers have a far bigger supporter base than Port Adelaide. And that's why Bonnie Toogood's Mark 1. We riot if it doesn't win Mark of the Year, because we know that that is voted on partially by fans, but predominantly by a voting panel. And I will be shocked if anyone doesn't look at what Matilda Schultz has done and say, that is Mark of the Year. And probably the best hanger we've ever seen in AFLW history. I contend that the mark last year that won from Courtney Hodder is a better mark. It's more insane. It's almost never seen at any level. But Schultz wins comfortably this year. Just another question that's come through. And I know I kind of touched on it, but I'll give a bit more time to just talking about the best options to trade in kind of under 400K, kind of as actual downgrades, and maybe just go a hair lower and look at those that are under 350K. Now, for those playing, there's not a lot of spectacular options, is there? So Megan Gaffney is going to have a low break even. But I do worry that she is not going to score particularly well in a, I would say that someone of her size who is quite small and looks to get speed on the outside is probably going to struggle in what ought to be a really difficult matchup against Hawthorn for that type of player. Another option to potentially consider is Hayley McLaughlin. in the midfield at 304K. I think that she'll get a little bit more time. It doesn't sound like Christy Stratton and Laura Stone, who are probably the other players that she's competing with for a spot in the side, are that close to playing. It sounds like they're still a couple of weeks away. So that would be where I'd be looking. I would like to steer everyone clear of Celine Moody. I anticipate that she will sit at 300K for the rest of the season. Her break even will be broken because she had so many horrendous scores in a row. Just don't worry about it. Don't look at it. I wouldn't consider it. I still stand by Gabby Beaton-Webster. I think that her run, playing it basically as a half forward, sometimes as a tall forward, particularly with Hetherington rested this week, maybe you get three or, you know, a couple of scores in the mid-30s and you kind of leave pretty happy with that. One player who I'd been really interested on for a few weeks and who completely tanked her score is Isabel Bacon. Sadly, she's now got a 4 in her pricing. It's sad because I think she's going to be, it could have been a really great player, and I expected her to kind of score 30s and 40s for the rest of the season, but alas, that is not the case. Now let's just see if there's anyone else that I could be tempted by below 400K. Actually, let's just have a look if any of the emergencies, because I do know that Sunday teams kind of break it for a lot of these options. We are really struggling for, I guess if Kate Kenny plays, we know that she can score a 30. We saw her do it against the Suns, albeit against Brisbane. She might be a player that you do wait an extra week. Bella Kaye-Smith at 38 against Sydney. Again, unfortunately playing up against Brisbane, so you are going to struggle. I'm looking at Caitlin Thorne and in my side, and I wouldn't be suggesting that you ultimately go there. Another player that you could consider, given the Collingwood matchup, is in defence, is Kira Mueller at 352K. I do think that she has some scoring potential. She's kind of averaged, I think, 35, low 40s last season. I don't know about her job security, though, but she's on an extended bench, so I'd just be watching for tomorrow night. I wouldn't be trading her in if you have to lock your trades in tonight. Alrighty then. Well, I think that's about all that we've got question-wise for the week. Hopefully you've all enjoyed. Hopefully you don't mind listening to me blabber on by myself for a bit. And again, thanks a bunch to Bales for jumping on. Good luck, everyone, for this week's trading. I hope you do have some good luck and also get to enjoy. You got to enjoy a slightly less frantic week. I know that I did. I love the fact that I could record on a Monday night, write my article Monday and a bit of Tuesday, just to be allowed to kind of simmer on my trades, know if everyone's playing before I pick them. So it's been a welcome relief, and good luck everyone for the week to come. You'll hear from us at the beginning of next week. Cheers.